Joshua chapter 3, life has aptly been described as a journey. I like to think of life in some ways as a road trip. When you begin a road trip, of course, you have familiar landmarks. You make frequent stops, sometimes to places you've stopped at many, many times. Sometimes you just stop there because it's traditional for you to stop there. At least that's how I am. But then sometimes, if it's an interesting road trip, you'll go into new and uncharted territory. You'll have experiences that are different. In other words, things will not be quite the same. Even if you planned everything to be the same, you'll sometimes find that there's a detour along life's way, and that detour can take you places you never imagined going. I remember one time we were traveling in the state of Wisconsin. We had a detour that took us through a little tiny Wisconsin town that I never would have seen in my life, except we ended up there. In that town, in the parking lot of that town, there was an amusement park, and our kids wanted to go, and so we stopped at this amusement park, and it was all antique amusement rides. Doesn't that sound interesting? It's really thrilling because it's super dangerous, okay? They didn't have the same level of safety on the antique rides. And I remember sitting with my son in the Scrambler. How many know what the Scrambler is? Do you know what? How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, the Scrambler. And there's this fella who appeared to be at least reasonably sober. He was running the ride. There was no line of people standing there. There was no line of people standing there, and my son and I were the only ones on the Scrambler. And so we got on the Scrambler, and he whipped it up into high gear, and boy, the thing went round and round and round and round. But there was no line of people. Nobody else wanted to ride it. He went somewhere. The guy went somewhere. He just disappeared for the longest time. Now, folks, let me tell you, there's a reason they time rides, okay? There's a reason for it. And finally, he showed up again. I must have been on the thing for 10 minutes. And I mean, that is a long time. Finally, he showed up again the next morning. I was black and blue from the pressure of being against the side of that thing. But we never would have experienced that, except that there was a detour. There was a change in life. In the passage we read a moment ago in Joshua chapter 3, and really the first three chapters, there is a major change coming for the children of Israel. You all remember the story of the Passover, and you remember how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how they had the crossing of the Red Sea, and then on into the wilderness. Everyone in here remembers those Bible stories. For that period of time, Moses was the great leader of the nation. For that period of time, Moses was the man who was leading and was God's voice to the people. But then something happened. Look, if you will, in Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse number 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." This was a time of change for the children of Israel. For 40 years, they had wandered around in a wilderness. So much had they been in the wilderness that the wilderness really had become their home. The lifestyle of travel, the nomadic lifestyle, had become something to which they were accustomed. But now God was saying, after their suffering in the wilderness, after judgment in the wilderness, after 40 years, God said, now there's going to be a change. You are going to enter into the promised land, the land that I promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You are going to possess the land. In addition, you're going to possess the land under different leadership, because Moses' death would mark a new phase for Israel. Joshua now would become the leader. They would move into the land. And while I'm not going to read all of the first and second chapter, you would do well to do so, because the people agreed to follow Joshua. The people had agreed to follow Moses. And here's the point I'm going to make about the new year. And this is my New Year's sermon that I would have preached last Sunday, except for the fact that I had cracked ribs. But this is my New Year's sermon. Here's the point I'm going to make. In all of our lives, change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. 2017 was the year, I think, that was, without a doubt, there's no doubt in my mind, personally, the most difficult year of my life. Personally, the most difficult year. With everything that happened in February, and then trying to get through all of that, and other events that took place during the year, it was the year of the greatest struggle. It was also a year prior to that, I never would have seen coming. January the 1st, 2017. I never would have seen coming the next 12 months. And I learned something from that, that life not only changes on a dime, but it changes in an unpredictable way, sometimes in ways we can't possibly imagine. I'm the kind of person that likes things to remain the same. I enjoy sameness about things. There's something comforting. But I've learned this year that nothing in life is permanent. Nothing in life is permanent. Pastor Monty, that's such a depressing thought. No, it is not. I want to look this way. When I entertain the thought that nothing in life is permanent, it teaches me to love the moment I already have. So many people are not conscious of the value of today. The value of today, Pastor Monty, what are you talking about? I'm talking about its people. I'm talking about its places, its events. Well, Pastor, you know, this is Sunday, and you know, Sunday rolls around, and we have to drag ourselves out of bed. We have to get cleaned up, and we have to go to church, and it's just what we do. And you're spending your whole life in the have to, rather than ever considering the get to. Now, let me tell you something. There is a dramatic difference in a person's life who doesn't look at things that are common as, oh, I have to do that. I have to get up and go to work. I have to walk the dog. There's a dramatic difference in the life of an individual who, rather than thinking in the have to, learns how to think in the get to. In other words, this morning when I got up, Pastor Monty, you preach sometimes 6 or 7 times a week. Yeah, that's true. In the teaching I do at the college down south, sometimes 6 or 7 times a week I'm speaking. Well, Pastor, do you ever just say, oh, I have to? Sure I do. I'm a human being. But you know what's always better? It's always better when I say, wow, I get to. Man, I get to preach at Faith Baptist Church. I get to get up in front of the people that I love. I get to open God's Word. What an awesome privilege. Well, okay, Pastor Monty, you can think that way, but we're the ones who have to drag ourselves over here and listen to it. I understand. But you know what you could say? You could say, wow, I get to open the Bible today. Wow, maybe God will speak to my heart about something. I get to see my brothers and sisters in Christ, my friends. I get to sing a hymn of worship. I get to be involved in corporate prayer. Let's try this one for size. I even get to participate in an offering where I show God's my love for God and His love for me by my giving. I'm suggesting to you, in a world where things change, doesn't it make sense to value right now the present moment that you have and to say, thank God for what I have? Well, you know, Pastor Monty, you know, I know how things are, but a lot of things have changed in this old world, and I'm kind of nostalgic for the good old days. Do you know why we're maybe nostalgic for the good old days? Because maybe we look back on it and realize we kind of took it for granted, and now we wish we had it. Did you ever think about that, older folks? Come on, think with me. Did you ever think about that? Maybe that's the reason we're nostalgic. Because back then, we kind of took it for granted, and now we're like, wow, boy, we really had it good back then. Wouldn't it revolutionize our thinking if we said to ourselves, wow, we really have it good right now? That would change our thinking. It is inevitable that things will change. There's nothing that is permanent. But my thinking about these matters can cause me to find every day filled with meaning and purpose, not mere survival. It also means this: I don't have to fear change. I can go forward and embrace things because naturally in life some things change. Now you say, Pastor, in your life in the past year, was everything good? No, it wasn't good. No. There are some things that were really, really, really bad, okay? Now, does God work all things together for good? Yes, He does. But that doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. But it does mean this: there is a God in control of the pathway that I take. There is a God who's guiding me on the journey, and I can trust Him. And when something changes, when the proverbial monkey wrench gets thrown into your life. And look this way, everybody, look at me. At some point in 2018, that's going to happen to you, either in a big way or a little way. When the proverbial monkey wrench gets tossed into your life, you can either rebel, you can push against it and say, no, I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to fall apart right here. Or you can say, I will embrace this change and watch God in His grace carry me through. I will echo the words of the Apostle Paul, when I am weak, then am I strong. It is inevitable in 2018 that some things will change. But you know what? There's some really good news. Turn back to chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, chapter 1. There are some things that remain the same. This is good. There are some things. By the way, the Cleghorns, they're going to have some big changes in 2018. Amen? Some big ones. The moment you start whining about what changed in your life in 2018, I want you to call Tim and Kara Cleghorn, talk to them. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 5. There are some things that don't change. The Bible says this, the Lord's promise to Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. If life can aptly be described as a journey, there are certain landmarks along the way, some things that bring us comfort that don't change. I'm like that when I go visiting places where I've frequently been. I like to go back to some of the same places over and over again. I enjoy those things. Some of you probably do too. You stop there just because that's what you always do. And there's something comforting about it. Those landmarks are the things that don't change. There are in our lives landmarks, anchors, foundations that never change. And God is one of these. He never changes. Scripture says, I am the Lord, I change not. God is the same despite every change of scenery in our lives. He is the same. Sometimes when I travel somewhere, maybe up north on a camping trip or a hunting trip, I'll notice, oh, so-and-so must have bought that land and they built a new cabin back there. And it sounds interesting to see the new cabin. But you know what's always nice? Just to see the same old places. There's a place up north in the middle of the woods, 15, 20 miles away from any other restaurant, a little cafe, where they sell hamburgers. The best hamburgers on the planet. Let me just tell you about this place. By the way, every time I go, I look at the menu. It never changes, amen? Don't fix it if it's not broken. All these fast food chains that introduce this weird stuff, sushi at McDonald's, what? That's just weird. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. That would just be something they scraped up off the floor and covered in rice. When you have to change your menu constantly, you know what it means? It means you're failing. But isn't it nice to go somewhere where the menu is always the same? You say, Pastor Monty, what do you order when you go to that restaurant? The same thing every time. Train wreck with casualties. The restaurant's called the Trestle Inn. It's actually made of old train trestle things, bridges, tracks, pieces. What's a train wreck with casualties? Let me tell you, it's like a double or triple burger, okay, with everything on it. But here's the kicker. What's the casualties? When you order the train wreck with casualties, that gives the cook, and by the way, at this place, he ain't no chef, okay? He's a cook. That gives the cook, that you say, what's the difference between a chef and a cook? The amount of grease. Which is really good for you as long as it's animal fat. This vegetable oil is killing America, killing. It's poison. I won't go into that. When you order the casualties, you have given the cook permission to put anything he wants on that hamburger. And when it comes out to you, it is a surprise. So it might be something as benign as hash browns. Or it could be something like peanut butter. Or if you really hit the jackpot, he could slather pieces of pickled herring on top of your burger and work it right in. Folks, it's fabulous. Oh, and by the way, it comes with an egg, a medium over easy egg or something like that. What a hamburger. You know what? Every time I go, I think to myself, wow, I'm so glad they never changed the menu. The children of Israel, their lives were about to change dramatically because they were entering into the promised land, which was no piece of cake to take over. But there are some things that remain the same. Verse number 5 says that God's presence remains the same. The Lord said to Joshua, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. Isn't it easier to face changes in life when you know that God is going to be with you? And by the way, that is a promise. Jesus, in leaving the disciples in his ascent to heaven, he said, behold, or lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. He said, not only am I going to go away physically, but in each one of you, when I go away, the person of the Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity, God himself, will come to live inside. Ladies and gentlemen, that's huge. His presence is there every moment. It is no secret that in 2018, some tears are going to be shed among members of this congregation. It is no secret that there are folks sitting in this room that won't be with us this time next year. The Lord may take them home in death. It is no secret. I go through my funeral records that I keep and look at the names and remember the people that have passed on. There were folks that were seated here a year ago that are not here today. But may I make a statement? Though those things change, and that's probably the most dramatic change in our life, to lose a loved one, when those things change, God says this, I will be with thee. I'll be with you. I'm not going to let you walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone. I'm not going to make you climb what appears to be an insurmountable mountain by yourself. I'm not going to send you into some foreign country where nobody knows your name, to a language of people that is difficult to speak, to a place that is completely foreign to anything you've ever known. I'm not going to do that without my being present right there. I will be with thee. I want to tell you something. 2017, God kept his word on that to this preacher. God kept his word. Some things remain the same. The presence of God. Now, it goes even deeper. I like this. Look at verse number 5. The assurance of God. He says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Then notice this. I will not fail thee. Now look, not only am I going to be there, but I'm not going to fail you. When you go through a difficult time in life, it's really important to have friends and family. I found that out in 2017, this past year, more than in any other year, the value of people who are simply my friends. When we went through that difficult time in February, there were one friend came from Pennsylvania, another friend drove up from Arkansas. Later in the year, a friend came up from Texas. People that I've known for decades in my life, and I came to recognize the value of their presence, the value of their friendship. But they couldn't do everything for me. They could simply be there. And by the way, that's good. And folks, learn if you will right now, one of the best ministries you can have is just to be there for someone. I early after that incident happened in February, I don't know, a few days after I got, maybe just 2 days after I got back home, Kevin Young, sitting up here in the front, he came to my house and he just sat with me for hours. He didn't give me some huge wisdom that was going to transform everything, because that's kind of beyond your pay grade. But here's what he did. He just sat with me, and that was just a comfort. But God takes that presence thing a step further. Now look at everybody. God says, I'm not going to fail you. And those words out of the mouth of God, those are powerful words, because behind the words, I will not fail thee, behind those words stand omnipotence. He will not fail you. Well, Pastor Mon, it just seems like the whole thing is just falling apart, and we've taken some turns I wasn't expecting it. The whole thing has just gone completely out of control. And God says, I'm with you. And he says, I will not fail you. In other words, there's no circumstance that can ever enter my life that would be proof of the failure of God in my life. There are only circumstances that enter my life that down the way I will understand to be the weaving of God in a tapestry more beautiful than anything that I could have ever imagined. God says, I'll be present, I'll be with you. He gives the assurance, I will not fail you. And then he says this, and I love this. Look at verse number 5. I will not fail thee, note these words, nor forsake thee, nor forsake thee. So Pastor Monty, what is that talking about? It's talking about God's faithfulness. Some of us in this room, because of personal failures, think to ourselves, well, you know, Pastor Monty, that's good for people like Joshua, because after all, Joshua was just a lion for the Lord. Well, Joshua had his weaknesses too. Read the book of Joshua. But some people in the room think, well, this message only applies to people that are the sterling saints among us. By the way, if you think you're one of the sterling saints among us, you're tarnished. The more a person draws close to the Lord, the more they see their sin, the more they see their failure. Spirituality, listen to what I'm about to say, spirituality is never marked by pride. It is never some, well, Pastor Monty, you know, me and my wife are very spiritually mature people. Ooh. Don't ever say that in my presence. Because you know what I think when I hear those words? I think, yeah, about as spiritually mature as a preschooler. Okay? Those who are spiritually mature recognize how undone we are before the Lord, and how were it not for His great grace, none of us would have any of the blessing of God or the liberty and the freedom in Christ to function in the power of the Holy Spirit. But he says this, to any person in this room who says, well, this message only applies to people that are borderline perfect. Yeah, you know what I call that? People like that, borderline perfect people. I call that the 12 item or less line. Pastor Monty, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, well, the Bible says that all of us as Christians, we're going to stand before the Lord one day at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And there are some people that are so good, they're expecting to go to the 12 items or less line. They don't have anything much to answer for, right? Ever meet somebody like that? 12 items or less line. Okay, let me warn you about something. Don't get behind me. Going to have a long wait. There's a lot to talk about. I'm being facetious. In all reality, spiritual people recognize how lost and undone they are before the Lord. And God says this, I will never leave thee. And then he says, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to forsake you. You listen to me. Every person in this room, you say, Pastor Monty, I'm not deserving of God's presence. I'm not deserving of his assurance that he'll never fail me. I just don't deserve that. Newsflash, no one in this room deserves that. And God has said, I will never forsake you. I will never turn my back on you. You are my child. And God is not pleased when we walk in disobedience. But you are my child, and I'll never, never turn my back on you. I'm simply saying that a lot of stuff can change. Sure can. But the God who is our God never changes. Pastor, there was a dark time in my life when I felt like God had really turned his back on me and had really forsaken me. Just because the darkness limits your ability to see, it does not mean that he is right there. And he gave a promise, I will never forsake you. 2018, Pastor Monty, what's it going to bring for my family? I don't know. What's it going to bring for my job or my life? I don't know. But I knew this. I do know this. There is a God who will be with you. There is a God who will not fail you. And there is a God who will never forsake you in the journey. Father, thank you for your word this morning and for speaking to hearts. Lord, how these words from your word need to help us to frame 2018. We don't know what the year holds, Lord, and we're not going to worry about it and ruminate over that. What we are going to do is draw close to you, and we're going to recognize that there are, in the midst of changes that can come so sweepingly into our lives, there are some things that never change. We're thankful, Lord, for the rock of our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we have an anchor for the soul in Jesus Christ. And we're thankful, Lord, that everything that happens, you know about it, and you will see us through. For any here today that don't know Christ, help them this day to find that one who is their best friend, their guide, their assurance through life, we pray. In Jesus' name, everyone standing together.